if you would please, turn with me in your Bibles to book of Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, you will find that on page 796. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18 and going to verse 32, we read these words. They say this: "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the images that were made like mortal men, birds, animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degradation of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who forever prays, Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to the sinful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned the natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves a due penalty of their perversion. Therefore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to the depraved mind to do what ought not be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they did not only continue to do these very things, but they also approved of those who practiced them." Very, very great words, and look forward to hearing God's word put into our hearts this morning. God bless.
For sharing the message of hope, the message of hope that God is preparing a place for you and I, and that when everything is ready, he will call for us, and we will immediately go to be in the presence of the Lord. And what a moment that's going to be. This morning, I am embarking on a passage of Scripture that actually there's several things we're going to look at this morning. But in today's society, this is untouchable ground that should not be brought up. In an effort to silence the church, the world calls us bigots. In an effort to keep us quiet, they proclaim things that are totally false. And how do we respond? Too often, with silence. We fall and submit to the will of the world instead of what the will of God is. And the question that we must ask ourselves is this: do we love the world enough to warn them of the sufferings of a Christless eternity? Do we love people enough to proclaim the truth, whether the world wants to accept it or not? Do we love the liar enough to warn them that their lies will send them to a lake of fire? Do we love the thief enough to warn them? Do we love the perverted enough to warn them? Do we love the lost enough? Or do we remain silent? In this particular passage of Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, the Apostle Paul gives us a reason as to why people are lost. And the fact that there are severe consequences when a person chooses to embrace a lifestyle or to support others who choose a lifestyle that is totally contrary to God's word and to God's will. I was struck by this in watching a news report. I didn't watch the program. I watched the news report, though, of an awards ceremony that was just held, and I can't remember which one it was, but Jodie Foster declared that she was a homosexual. And the audience applauded and cheered as she came out of the closet, which she did in 2007 and which she did in 2005 in other award ceremonies, to get the same type of a response of applause. Folks, I submit to you that those who applauded for Jodie Foster don't love her. They don't care that her lifestyle will eternally separate her from God. They don't care that an eternity of suffering and torment awaits for those who are perverse. Pastor, you're judging Jodie Foster. No, I'm not. God's word has already done that. I am agreeing with the word of God. I want you to look with me for a moment. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to be coming back to Romans, but I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to notice verses 9 and 10. Paul writes this, he says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators." Now, that means those who involve themselves in premarital sexual acts. That's what fornication is. "Neither fornicators nor idolaters." Idolaters are anyone who places any type of an idol before God as more important than God. Maybe it's fame, maybe it's popularity, maybe it's wealth, maybe it's other religions, the worship of other gods, but nonetheless anything that can be an idol. Nor adulterers. Those who involve themselves in adultery, having sexual relations with those that they're not married to, nor effeminate, effeminate are those who dress with the purpose to deceive, if you will, cross-dressers. Those who dress to make people think they are of the opposite sex. Nor homosexuals. I think we all know what homosexuals are. Nor thieves, those who unrightfully or take that which is not rightfully theirs. Nor the covetous, those who look at others and say, man, I should have everything that they have. Coveting what someone else has. Nor drunkards. That's pretty obvious what a drunkard is. Nor revilers, or those who, if you will, who cause fights and like to fight, inflicting physical damage on others, or who belittle the faith of someone else. Nor swindlers, those who, again, swindle people out of money, some people out of their life's earnings. I don't think there's much more despicable than these organizations that prey upon the seniors and do everything they can to take their wealth away. Now catch this. None of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. See, I don't have to judge the homosexual, nor the thief, nor the liar, nor the swindler, nor the effeminate, nor the drunkard, nor any of these things that are listed here. The Word of God does that because it's contrary to the very nature of God. Now, turn over with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, the last book in the Bible, the next to the last chapter. Revelation chapter 21. Look with me at verse 8. And I encourage you to read all of these passages and that kind of thing. We're just going to deal with verse 8 right now. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable, those who commit abominations before the Lord, one of those things that homosexuality is declared as an abomination, and the abominable, and murderers, and immoral persons, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The lake of fire and brimstone. And who goes there? Those who are listed here? Those who are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10? And those who are listed in this passage in Romans chapter 1. Now, I want you to understand. Because we speak out against these kinds of lifestyles, does not mean that we hate the individual. But in fact, the opposite is true. You love the individual, therefore you attempt to warn them of their future eternal destination if they don't receive the grace of God. If they don't receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire that burns and burns, and yet they'll never die. They'll just be tormented and suffer forever and forever. I ask you again, do we love them enough to warn them? Or do we give hearty approval to those who practice such things? Do we show disgust towards God by giving hearty approval and support and encouragement to those who walk contrary to God? I have, and this is going to surprise you, out of this passage in Romans chapter 1, I have just three things I want to share with you today. I want to share with you why people involve themselves in sinful behaviors and practices and then blame others and blame God. But they involve themselves in these things, first of all, because of choice. I'm going to tell you, folks, this blasphemy that comes through Hollywood, that comes through science, that says that people are created as homosexuals, and that's blasphemous. And they're going to have to answer for that type of statement that goes on. Now, I want you to look with me at verses 18 to 25 in this particular passage of Romans chapter 1. Notice this, that as Paul is writing, he says this. He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." You know what? People resist righteousness so hard because they know in reality that's truth. God is a righteous God. He created the world. He created us. And I'm going to tell you what. He sets the rules. And as the creature, as the created, we don't have the right to change the rules of God. And originally, all individuals, and I'm going to tell you this, even you, as a very little child, had an internal acknowledgement of the existence of God. But the choice to suppress that and to push it down and to enter into sinful behaviors quiets the voice of God more and more and more. And that's a dangerous position to find ourselves. But it's because of choice. Let's continue on here. Okay, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. We were created with that in the image of God, folks. And being created in the image of God, there is an innate reality of God. And that's in each and every individual. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. No one is going to stand before God and say, "I never knew of your existence. I never knew about you." For even nature itself cries out that there is a God of creation and that there is an orderliness in all of creation. The sun rises every day. The world spins every day. It circles the sun every year. There is an orderliness. that God has created and that's within us, and we are therefore without excuse. Verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. By the way, you know what the word fools means? That's someone who declares that God does not exist. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's what a fool is. They became fools and they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You see, people involve themselves in homosexual lifestyles and becoming liars and becoming thieves, becoming drunkards. They do that because they chose to do that. They chose to no longer honor God down deep in their heart. They chose to suppress the knowledge of God's existence or His holiness. They chose to walk against what they know down deep inside to be truth. And so God gives them over. And He says, if that's what you're going to be, and if that's what you're going to do, you be it and you do it. But you'll have no part in Me. No one is lost by accident. Sinners become sinners by choice. That's important for us to remember. Secondly, why are they like they are? Because of perversion. Look at verses 26 and 27. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. In other words, the women become lesbians. Or they become bisexuals. That's perversion. And in the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. You know what the due penalty is there? It's a seared conscience. That's what it is. They perform those things which are unnatural, which are perverted, which are perverse, because they've chosen that kind of a lifestyle. And what does Hollywood do? Isn't it wonderful that she had so much bravery to come out to a bunch of perverts? Folks, Hollywood does not love people enough to warn them of the eternal penalties that come from a perverted lifestyle. Do we as a church love them enough to warn them? Number three. The third reason why is because of denial. People become addicted to immoral lifestyles, to sinful behavior, whatever that behavior may be, and it was quite a list given in both places. But people do that and get addicted in those forms because of denial. Look at verses 28 through 32. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and although they know the ordinance of God that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. The applause of Hollywood populates the lake of fire. We are seeing, ladies and gentlemen, in our young people today, even young people within the church, hearty approval to immoral lifestyles. Even the young people in the church today cry out, "You are judging," when the reality is God's word has already judged them accountable and guilty. When we applaud immorality in any form, when we overlook immorality or sinful behavior in any form, we are a part of verse 32, the end of the verse. We are a part of giving hearty approval. Do we love the lost enough to warn them? If you're here today and you're involved in any of these kinds of behaviors, I want to warn you, there's a lake of fire prepared for Satan and his angels. There's a lake of fire that's going to be your eternal destiny. But there's hope if you'll give your life to Jesus Christ. You give your life to Jesus Christ and you receive forgiveness for all of those things. And you not only receive forgiveness, but you receive the bonus of having the Spirit of God dwell in you so that you might grow and learn and develop and become the man or the woman of God, the young person of God that He has designed you to be. When you were formed in your mother's womb, you were formed in the image of God. When you chose to become involved in sinful behavior, you damaged the image of God in your life. By damaging God's image, you've become lost. If you remain in that lost state, you become eternally punished by your own choice. There you have it. We don't judge the homosexual. God's word has done it. We don't judge the drunkard. God's word does. And in fact, the Holy Spirit Himself judges. But if we love them, we'll warn them. If we don't warn them, we don't love them. And when we don't have the love of God, we don't have God. Would you stand? I'm going to ask you at this time to please take your hymnals and open up with me to number 349. Number 349. It's a very familiar hymn of the church, Trust and Obey. You know, you can't have one without the other. You can't be trusting God and disobeying Him. It doesn't work that way. You can't obey God without trusting Him. It doesn't work that way. The two have to go together. If you're here today and you'd have to say, you know what? I've not been trusting God because I haven't been obeying Him. I invite you to come forward. Jesus Christ said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. I want to give you opportunity today to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're walking in a sinful lifestyle, I invite you to come to this altar. The altar is a place of sacrifice where we sacrifice our sin and we receive the blessing of God's presence. So I want to invite you to come over to this side. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior but would like to receive Him, you step out and come when we sing. Don't wait for someone else. You step out and come. Either myself or someone else will pray with you and would be glad, thrilled to introduce you to Jesus. If you're here today and you'd have to say, you know what? I've really not cared because I've not warned. And I have fallen for the lie of society that says I'm judging. But I realize that I'm just simply not loving them enough to warn them. So if you're a believer and you're not speaking out against the sin in order that someone else might have life, I invite you to come over to this side. No one will bother you. Just you and God. Just you and God. And make that confession to Him. Tell Him you're sorry. And ask Him to give you the words to say when He provides the opportunity to say them. So if God is speaking to you, either one of these sides, we invite you to come as we sing number 349. And we're only going to sing three verses of this. 1, 3, and 5. So if God is speaking to you, you step out and you come. Verses 1, 3, and 5. Our gracious Father, teach us to trust You and to obey You. Lord, we pray right now. We pray for this one who has come forward to receive Jesus as her personal Savior. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would just clarify to her heart and to her mind, to her soul, the truth of who you are. That you love her and that you reach to forgive her and that you wish deeply for a relationship with her so that she has the promise of your eternal presence. And Lord, we'll rejoice in that. Father, we pray for the one who has stepped forward on the other side. And Lord, we ask that you would meet her at her point of deepest need. And that, Father, you would fill her to overflowing with your joy. And that you would help her to stand to be a voice for you in a perverse and perverted generation. Lord, help her love for you translate into love for those who are wayward, so that she would be quick to share a reason for the hope that lies within her, but that she would be quick to warn of the dangers of sinful behaviors. Now, Lord, help us as a church. Help us to be a part of your body that promotes health and healing, that brings people to a moment of relationship with you that leads to an eternity in your presence. Oh God, help us be a lighthouse in this modern day world. Help us to be the church. And Father, I pray not just for this congregation, but for congregations all over this world that name the name of Jesus. Don't let the church universal become dead. But Father, give us life. Now, Father, watch over us today. Give us guidance and direction today. As the young people share in the service tonight, Father, give them courage. Give them hope. And so, Father, thank you. Thank you for meeting with us. Thank you for salvation. For it's in your glorious and holy and righteous name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Matt to come. Please lead us in our benediction song. God bless you, Matt.